So heaven going is a subject about what happens when we die, whether there's an afterlife, and if so, what form does it take? So Rosemary and I went to a funeral on Tuesday. The lady leading the service said something about the spirit living on and being reunited with dead parents. Words that were a little bit vague, really, but intended to be a comfort to those friends and relations that were there. But what do people really think about the afterlife? So let's look at a survey. This survey says that 1 in 3 Britons believe in an afterlife. They believe in something after death. Women are more likely to believe in it than men. And also, if we look at age groups, young people are a little bit more likely to believe in an afterlife than the older generation. Particularly true for men. If we look at, well, what kind of afterlife do they believe in? If they believe in an afterlife, what is it? The most common idea was that your soul, whatever that is, goes to another place, like heaven or hell. 43% of people believe that, out of those that believed in an afterlife. And the percentage was higher, as you might expect, for people that were practicing religious people. 71% of those believed that you go to heaven or hell. The next most popular idea was that you were reincarnated. So your soul comes back in another body. 22% believe that there was something, but they didn't know what. So a reasonable number of people, about a third, believe in an afterlife. And most of them believe that your soul goes to heaven or maybe hell when you die. Even people that aren't religious know about this idea, even if they don't believe it or don't understand it. It's often referred to, it's often, you know, mentioned in popular culture. People talk about arriving at the pearly gates and St. Peter there with his book of life to decide whether you can come in or not. It's just, I'm sure nobody believes that is really true, but it's just an idea in the popular culture. And I guess people find the idea of going to heaven or of at least going to an afterlife a comforting thought, even if they're not really sure what it is. It's a comforting thought. And I can understand that people feel there must be something after death. I mean, it is hard to accept that, you know, a person's life, all his experiences, all the things he's learned in life, all the love that he's shown, everything that makes a person, you know, that should be lost forever when he dies. Doesn't seem to make sense. What is the point of life if there's nothing to come after? So the question is, what comes after? And is it heaven or is it something else? I thought I'd have a look at what the churches say. And really, it's the Roman Catholics who are the most clear about what they believe. I think, on the whole, religions are a little bit vague about this. But the Roman Catholics have got their catechism, they've got their teaching written down. Hope you don't mind. I thought it'd be interesting to have a look at that. So in the section under heaven, which is paragraph 1023, so it's quite a big thing. They say those who die in God's grace and friendship and are perfectly purified, whether in this life or in the next life, in purgatory, forget the bit in brackets, live forever with Christ. They are like God forever, for they see him as he is, face to face. Well, that paragraph doesn't actually mention heaven. It says that people will live forever with Christ. And it references some Bible verses to support that. References 1 John 2. Here it is. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's interesting, isn't it? Because that verse is talking about when Christ appears. It's talking about when Christ returns to the earth. And yet they are treating it as applying to when a person dies. Same with 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. It's talking about at present we know in part, but when the time of perfection comes, we will know fully. Again, it's looking forward, I think, to the return of Christ and the kingdom of God. But they've taken it to be talking about heaven. And Revelation 22 is also talking about the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. But then if you look at the second paragraph, it doesn't refer to the Bible. It starts with these words: by virtue of our apostolic authority, we define the following. And these are actually words of Pope Benedict the XII, which he made in a statement in 1336, and there he says the souls of all the saints have been, are, and will be in heaven, in the heavenly kingdom and celestial paradise with Christ. So it's saying that after death your souls will be in heaven and with Christ. But having said that, also in this paragraph it says, the bit in green, before they take up their bodies again and before the general judgment. So they accept there will be a time when the bodies will be raised and there will be a judgment. So it's a very interesting idea. Hope you don't mind, but if we look at a few more paragraphs. From the Catechism, the last judgment will come when Christ returns in glory. Only the Father knows the day and the hour. Only he determines the moment of its coming. At the end of time, the kingdom of God will come in its fullness. After the universal judgment, the righteous will reign forever with Christ, glorified in body and soul. Sacred Scripture calls this mysterious renewal, which will transform humanity and the world, new heavens and a new earth. In this new universe, the heavenly Jerusalem, God will have his dwelling among men. I think I can agree with all this. I can agree with the Catholics about this. But the only thing is, I can't see they have any evidence for this idea that people's souls go to heaven when they die and stay there until the final judgment. It's only Pope Benedict the XII, it's only his word on that. And it seems a bit of a contradiction as well, because if there's a judgment when Jesus returns, it seems to me there's also a judgment when you die, because you have to be judged to see where you're going to go, whether you're going to heaven or to purgatory or whatever. So it's a little bit confused, I think. Hope you don't mind me talking about the Catholics, but I thought it was interesting. What about other Christian sects? Most churches seem to accept the idea of going to heaven, but they're a little bit vague about it. They don't say anything specific. So I hope you don't mind if I have a look at what the Anglicans believe. Because their beliefs are based on the creeds, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, and also on the 39 Articles. And I just thought we'd have a look at the Apostles' Creed. This is quite an early statement of faith, probably 2nd century. and it's something which I think I can completely agree with. And it says, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. It says he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. And also I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. So all this is makes perfect sense to me. There's nothing here that I disagree with. And there's nothing here about a person going to heaven when they die. Rather, it's talking about being raised from the dead, the resurrection of the body, being judged. Jesus is going to judge the living and the dead. I'm quite happy with all of that. By the way, there's nothing in here about the Trinity either. The Anglicans also accept the Nicene Creed. It came a bit later, 4th century, probably. It's quite a bit longer, and that's because there's quite a bit in there about the Trinity. Well, we're not going to look at that today. But the other bits are very similar to the Apostles' Creed. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. So, again, I hope you don't mind me looking at all these things, but when you look at these people's statements of faith, there's a lot that we can agree with. And there's nothing here about going to heaven. It's just a popular idea, I think. There's also the 39 articles that I mentioned. The only thing there that talks about heaven is in article number 4, where it talks about Christ ascending into heaven and sitting there until he returns to judge all men at the last day. Nothing else about heaven in any of these articles. So this idea of going to heaven seems to be kind of widely held by Christians, people that accept the creeds, but not something that you find in the creeds. The creeds are all talking about Jesus rising from the dead, ascending to heaven, coming back, judging the living and the dead, establishing his kingdom. We're going to look a bit at the Bible now, in case you were wondering. I thought we should say, well, where is heaven? Well, all I can say is heaven is where God lives. We don't know much more than that. We can't say where it is exactly. It could be outside of our universe, or it could be in a different dimension. That, to me, those terms kind of vaguely make sense. They may not make sense to you, but what I'm saying really is kind of beyond our comprehension. But we know it's God's domain. So here we are, Psalm 14. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Or here's another psalm. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. There is a difference between heaven and heavens. Heavens is a word quite often used to mean the sky, what we can see. We talk about the starry heavens. The heavens declare thy glory, Lord. In every star thy wisdom shines. So that's that. But heaven singular, normally it's talking about the place where God lives. And really he lives above the heavens, if you like. So, great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And Jesus talked about heaven being God's throne. He says, don't swear by heaven, because it is God's throne. What about Jesus? Well, Jesus was a man, but he was also the Son of God. He was sinless. He died a cruel death by crucifixion, but God raised him from the dead. And he was taken up into heaven to sit at God's right hand. From there, he's able to help and guide his church through the Holy Spirit, through the power that God has given him. But the Bible is very clear that Jesus is coming back, the same as the Creed said, coming back to the earth to rule over God's kingdom. And so you know Acts chapter 1 very well. The angels said to the disciples when they were looking at Jesus disappearing from their view, he said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So that's very clear, as we know. Peter says, heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Or, you know, there's lots of verses we could quote. Thessalonians, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So if Jesus has gone to heaven, we might ask the question, well, has anyone else gone to heaven? And maybe we could quote the example of David. You might think, well, David was a good man. He was a man after God's own heart. Surely he deserved to go to heaven. But Peter in his speech says, you know, David died and was buried. His tomb is here to this day. And then later on he says, for David did not ascend into heaven. David was talking about Jesus when he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. So we all know that. And Jesus himself said, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. So if no one goes to heaven, then what happens when we die? So really Jesus is a good example, because Jesus is someone who has died, who's gone through death and come out the other side and been raised to eternal life. What happened to him during that period when he was dead? I mean, he was dead, he was buried. He didn't have a soul that went to heaven. He was dead for 3 days. And then he was resurrected. His body was recreated. It was a physical body in the sense that he could be touched. He could eat. But it was also a changed body, because it was a body that was no longer subject to sin and death. So here's an occasion when Jesus appeared to his disciples after the resurrection. He said, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And then he asked them if they had anything to eat, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. So he wasn't a ghost. He was a real person. No doubt his nature had been changed, but it was still a physical body. So Jesus didn't go to heaven when he was dead, did he? He went to heaven after he was raised from death. He didn't go to heaven when he was dead. And of course, our hope is to be raised from the dead as well. But when will that happen? Well, Paul is very clear about that. As we know, this well-known passage from 1 Corinthians 15, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Paul's very clear about that. So those who belong to Christ will be raised when he returns. But what about that time in between? I think that's what people worry about. I think, you know, we must go somewhere in between. But so this is where the Catholics say, well, in between, this is where your souls go to heaven until they get reunited with your body. But is that right? Are people conscious when they're dead? Do they have souls? So the Bible says, really, well, the dead are unconscious. Solomon writing in Ecclesiastes, the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. Well, here's an example from King Hezekiah. You remember King Hezekiah? He became very ill. Isaiah told him he was going to die. And Hezekiah prayed to God very hard, and God granted him another 15 years of life. And Hezekiah wrote a poem about it. It's in Isaiah 38. He says, "You restored me to health and let me live. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. For the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot sing your praise. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you as I am doing today." So in death, the dead can't praise God. The Catholics would have the dead all in heaven praising God. Now, the dead can't praise God, but there is this hope of the resurrection. And because of that, they are described as being asleep. They're described as being going to wake up. So even in the Old Testament, you've got Daniel saying, "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt." And Paul quite often talks about this. Here's 1 Corinthians 15 again. "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." So the dead in Christ are asleep, unconscious, until they're woken. The Bible doesn't talk about souls going to heaven. The Bible talks about people being raised from the dead when Jesus comes back, and having their bodies changed, and no longer subject to sin and death, and about the kingdom of God being established. I thought I ought to say a word about the kingdom of God. So we already sang the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, we talked about God being in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we want God's kingdom to be established on the earth. Now, it might seem a bit confusing because sometimes the Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? So, for example, in Matthew 6, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Does that mean that they're going to go to heaven? Just a couple of verses on, he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So what's this talking about? The thing is, in the Gospels, Matthew uses this term, the kingdom of heaven. The other three Gospels call it the kingdom of God. So Luke says, repeating what Matthew said in verse 3, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." So it's very clear. Have a little look in the concordance. That the kingdom of heaven is the name that Matthew gives to the kingdom of God. It's the same thing. It's only Matthew that uses that. And it's because he's writing to a Jewish readership. And the Jews didn't like to use the name of God. So heaven was an alternative. It was a way of referring to God without saying God. There's some more examples. Here we are. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? And what Jesus means is, did it come from God or did it come from human beings? As Good News Bible puts it clearly. Or, Father, the prodigal son says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. What he meant really was, I've sinned against God and against you. People of an earlier generation certainly do the same thing in English. They say, in heaven's name, or for heaven's sake. And they're avoiding using the name of God because they don't want to take God's name in vain. But that's what they're doing, really. And quite often in our hymns, it uses heaven to talk about God. When we sing, lead me with heavenly light, it means light from God, really. And bread of heaven really means the bread that comes from God. It's talking about Jesus. So I just wanted to say this phrase, the kingdom of heaven, can be a bit confusing perhaps, but it means the kingdom of God, the kingdom that's going to be on earth. What is the kingdom of God then? Well, it's a world in which God rules. Now, it's true that God rules his creation now. He has dominion over the earth. But it's not completely true because not everyone accepts God's rule. But there will be a time when everyone will know about God. Just see, back in the Old Testament, Psalm 22. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's. And he rules over the nations. So this word kingdom here is used in some versions. Other versions put dominion or kingship or royal power. But it's the same word. It's what that word means. When Jesus came, he said, the kingdom of God is near. He said, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So, what's he mean, the kingdom of God has come near? I think it's because Jesus, the appointed king of the kingdom, was here. The kingdom of God could now be seen in the things that he did, the way he healed people, the way he forgave people's sins. With Jesus there, they could taste the kingdom. They could touch it. And Jesus was drawing people into that kingdom. He was telling them to repent and come back into a relationship with God. And he was making the kingdom of God accessible to everyone. And his message has a sense of urgency. Something important is happening. With the arrival of Jesus, God's plan had taken a giant leap forward. The kingdom was now within our grasp. And it was time to do something about it. And Jesus is looking for people to be in that kingdom. And what kind of people is he looking for? Well, going back to those Beatitudes, I think he's looking for people that are poor in spirit. Theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. He's looking for people that are meek, for they will inherit the earth. He's looking for people that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. He's looking for people that are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. He's looking for the pure in heart, for they will see God. He's looking for the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So we need to be focusing our minds on the things of the kingdom. Focusing our minds on heaven, really, because that's where God and the Lord Jesus are. So Jesus says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. He says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So that's where your treasure should be, with God and with the Lord Jesus. That's your treasure. That's the thing that should be most valuable to you. They're centred on God. They're centred in heaven. And Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. Because that's where our king is. So we want to be citizens of heaven, citizens of the kingdom. And we, it says, Paul says, we eagerly await our king to come from there and to establish that kingdom. So I have finished now. To conclude, we may not be able to look forward to going to heaven when we die, but if we're in Christ, we can look forward to being raised from the dead when Jesus returns, to be awakened from our sleep, and to take part in the life of God's kingdom on earth.